today I want to kind of go back to Jesus' first miracle, his first public miracle that he had. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, we're gonna read about this. If you don't have your Bible, pull out your phone. Get the Bible app, because I'm not going to have it on the screen for you. Listen, I don't even got a lot of notes for you this morning. I don't have a lot of notes, because I started writing things down, and normally, if you know me pretty well, I like structure and I like things done a certain way, but this week I just felt like God was doing something else and I was just going along with the ride, right? And I preached at my wife yesterday. She's getting ready for our dedication, but I preached to her yesterday last night without notes, and she's like, okay, I got it. You're good. I'm like, no, I'm just excited. I'm just excited for what God's doing. So let's read it here. John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "We have no more wine." Woman, right, you get scared when you read that. That just means ma'am. Okay, so it's like saying ma'am. Ma'am, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And then nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, and each of them hold 20 to 30 gallons. And then in verse 7, Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim, and then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine, and he didn't realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. So he called over the bridegroom aside, right, the guy getting married, and said to him, "Wow, says everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests had had too much to drink." You know why that is? Because maybe they won't notice. "But you've saved the best till now." Water into wine. Water into wine. What an incredible story. And just like last week, when Pastor Scott told us that there was more to the story, there was more in it. There is so much here. And I want to say to you this morning, the first thing I just got for you is today is the day. Today is the day. This is the day. Write that song. Remember, this is the day that the Lord has made. It comes from Psalms. This is the day, because I want you to realize something, that when we're reading about the water turning into wine, we don't know when it happened. Was it when Jesus said that? Was it when they walked over to it? Was it when they were putting the water in? Was it when they filled it to the brim? Was it when they poured it out later? When did it happen? I think that's by design, because you just never know when God's going to turn it from water to wine. You just don't know. Come on. You just don't know. You don't know what he's going to do. So that's why we press in. That's why we get involved. That's why when worship's happening, we're pressing in. Because you don't know when that worship service is going to turn into a healing. You don't know when your financial breakthrough is going to happen. You don't know if you're in a small group, if God's going to break out and do something. You don't know when you're doing your devotional, if God's going to give you some revelation that you don't know. So this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. Why am I rejoicing? Because God made this day, not the enemy. I didn't make this day. He made this day, and I am pressing in, because you just never know when he's going to do a miracle. You never know when water is going to get turned into wine in your life. Amen. Today is the day, right? This is the day. So with that in mind, John says something really important here right in the beginning. He says this. He says, "This happened on the third day." Now, listen, John doesn't, he's like 80 years old or something at this point. He's a theologian. He's a historian. He knows everything. And when he wrote this in there, it wasn't that he was just accidentally put it in. John is saying something in this moment. John is saying that it's not an accident, and because it happened on the third day. Now, if you know your Bible, you know how significant the third day is in the Bible. Let me give you a couple. Hosea in the Old Testament, he would prophesy that God was going to heal on the third day. Yes, we would be broken. Yes, we would be under condemnation. But guess what he would do? He would come and heal us on the third day. And then it wasn't just that. He said it was the third day the Messiah would come and heal our wounds and raise us back to life. And then, so John is saying this little comment on the third day. He's saying that Jesus is the third day Messiah. He is saying that when you come into Christ, you come in on the third day. You come into healing and resurrection. You come into everlasting life on the third day. This is the life of Jesus. This is the water to wine life that you and I as Christians live in. Come on. Amazing things happen on the third day. I'll give you a little history lesson, okay? Joshua 3, the Bible says it was on the third day that the children of Israel transitioned out of the wilderness and into the promised land, out of wandering and into inheriting, out of manna and into sowing and reaping, out of the tents that they were living into cities, a land that was just before they could only survive on. Barely survive on into a land that is flowing with milk and honey. That happened on the third day. Come on. God transitions them into inheritance on that day. How about Genesis 22? The Bible says on the third day, Abraham takes Isaac up to the mountain. You guys know this story? Takes him up to the mountain. It said it was on the third day. He was ready to sacrifice his son. He was ready to give up his son. And then Jesus is there. You might not see it, but he's there. Because the Lord provides a ram in the thicket, a ram in the tree. When he wants to say, oh, that sacrifice is not good enough, I got something better, and it's in a tree. Now, that's Jesus, because how many of you know Jesus is the lamb, and he died on a tree? And he did that. So God's showing right here in Genesis 22 that we should have died, that we should have been on that cross, that we should have been the sacrifice, but it wouldn't have been enough. So God sends his lamb in the thicket, in the tree, on the cross. It's Jesus. And that happened on the third day. I got more. How about Exodus 9? Moses goes up to the mountain of God and Mount Sinai, and on the third day, he sees the glory of God. Genesis 42, Joseph is reconnected with his brothers. If you know the story, Joseph's brothers hated him. They sold him into slavery. And then God does something crazy. He makes Joseph the most powerful dude in all the land. So his brothers are having an issue. They don't know he's alive. They don't know where he is. And they show up to him not knowing who he was. And they need a miracle. They need some provision. And what does Joseph do? Well, for a couple days he puts him in jail, right? I don't know if that's because he had to think about it. But guess what happens? On the third day, he, even though they betrayed them, on the third day, Joseph gave mercy to them. He gave mercy to his brothers, and he gave them provision for all they would need in that famine. See, that reminds us that even though Jesus, he was rejected by his brothers too, 1 John. He was rejected by his brothers. And Jesus, he could have been the brother that he could have killed us. But here's Joseph showing mercy. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's why John's saying on the third day. And then, you know, finally, if that one wasn't enough, apparently it wasn't that impressive. On 1 Corinthians 15, on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. And because he rose, we can rise. And because he's alive, we're alive in him. Come on. Amazing things happen on the third day. See, John's saying this, that Jesus is moving us from the wilderness into the promised land, that he's the provider, that he's showing us his glory, that he's giving us mercy and grace, that he's going to be our sacrifice, because the water to wine shows us that it's been one way, but it's going to be a new way. That water to wine says that it was natural, but now it's going to be supernatural. Oh, man, amazing things happen on the third day. Now, notice how he does this. He takes these jars that are meant for ceremonial cleansing, 30-gallon jars. These are huge jars, right? Big. That's a lot of wine. And he gets these. They're saying estimated. You put them all together. I mean, some of you think, oh, that's a lot of wine. Okay. you go to Lowe's and you get one of those buckets. There's like six of those, and that's just one ceremonial jar, right? So he gets these jars, and it's interesting, 180 gallons of wine, they estimate. That's a lot of wine. And he takes these ceremonial cleansing jars. Now, I want you to see the significance of what he's doing here. He's taking these cleansing jars because this is what, it was a ritual. It was like a ritual to wash with this stuff. So if you were going to this party and you were Jewish, you would come right on over. You'd go to the ceremonial jars and you'd do this. You know, you're doing this. You got to wash your feet. You got to wash your hands. And it's ceremonial. It's meant to show that you're clean. It doesn't matter if you took a shower right before. You're doing this to show on the outside that you're clean. So they looked clean, but that was all religious theater. This, we look at the interest rates. The interest rates are going all high. You can't preach like this because look at the wars. There's wars and rumors of wars in Taiwan. All this stuff's happening. Listen, let me tell you, if God provided for you at $2.39 a gallon, he can provide for you at $20 a gallon. And if God provided for you with a 2.75 interest rate, he can provide for you when it's 20. When God provided for you when there was no war and peace, he can provide for you when there is peace, because our God specializes in the famine. He specializes in it. He provided for Abraham in the famine, Isaac in the famine, Elisha and Elijah in the famine. Our God can provide, because I don't care who's in the White House. I care that I'm in God's house. And that's where our hope comes from. He's the third day Messiah. He turned water into wine. He can change your life around right now. So let's stand together. Let's stand together. Let's give God praise. Let's give him all the things. If you're here this morning, I want to say to you, if you're here this morning and you need a miracle, when you're getting the word right now, step out in faith. Step out on faith. Maybe for you, it's just a full abandonment to say, God, I need you. God, I need you. So all around this room, Lord, we give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Lord, we're turning to you like Mary did. We need a miracle. And we know you're the source of that miracle. Lord, you're the one that gives us the instruction. You're the one that does it. So Lord, we're here this morning and saying, I don't know where you're at in life, guys. I don't know what's going on, but I know that the enemy has tried to tell you a lie that this wine's all gone, you're all good. Because that tells me something, that the enemy right now, the enemy has played his cards. The enemy has played his cards over these last 2 years. He's tried to do too much. And right now the people of God are waking up and they're saying, I'm sick of the wine. I'm sick of their wine. I'm sick of their whining. How about that? I'm sick of what they're whining about. I'm sick of whining myself. And I want to go from what the gross, disgusting ways of the world and their whine. And I want the Lord to fill up my vessel to the brim. So Lord, we come before you today and we're asking right now, would you fill us to the brim? Would you fill us to the brim? For some of us that are here, Lord, and maybe they're watching online, Lord, would you allow us, Lord, right now, start stirring it up in us that give us that word. I feel like somebody needs to hear it again. You got to get in church. You got to get in church. You're praying for a miracle. You got to be with the people of God, because he uses the people of God. He doesn't create lone rangers. He created us to be a community, connected to divine. Come back. Come back. If you're watching, and I love that you watch, and maybe you're from a different state or something like that, and you're watching online, find a church you can plug into. Some of y'all need to find a small group to join this fall. Lord, he might be calling you to that right now. And you're saying, I don't got the time. Listen, obey. You know, those people could have said, I don't want to fill up that with water. That's dumb. No, we're saying all the way to the brim, I'm going to do it. If the Lord is calling you, listen, I don't care. You can tithe however you want. But if you're not tithing, you should start tithing, because it doesn't make sense. But God's doing something incredible. God wants to do something incredible, and he uses our obedience to do his good work. If we're not obedient, what is he supposed to do? If we weren't obedient, we just laid on the mat forever. What are we supposed to do? If we weren't obedient, filled the jars, there's no miracle. It keeps going back to what we said a month or two ago, that I have my job and God has his job. We're doing this. We're co-laborers with him. And we're, man, I am so excited for what the Lord is doing. Lord, we're so thankful. So thankful that when it looks bad on the outside, Lord, you're doing a work on the inside. When our country looks messed up, Lord, we want to be the people of God that are praying for revival and doing something about it, not just talking about it. Lord, we want to put our money where our mouth is, and we want to reach the lost. Maybe right now you're praying for a miracle for your family. You're praying for a miracle. Invite them to church. Maybe you need to tell them what the good work that God did in your life. Maybe you have to step out and do something that you didn't want to do. The Lord is going to bless you in the name of Jesus. So Lord, again, we're just coming and we're thankful, but like I keep saying, we're thankful for what you've done, but we're thankful for what you're going to do. And Lord, I want to be on your team. I want to be your servant. I want to follow you. You are the source of miracles, and I believe that the Lord is going to pour out miracles in the next couple months, that we are going to see amazing things in the next couple months, but we got to step out. We got to step out. We got to be on the move. We got to be doing and listening to what he's saying, because faith is doing what he's saying. We need you. Lord, I pray for water to be turned into wine in Arcade, New York. Lord, I pray that right now over your families, that your water would be turned into wine. Over your marriages, that your water would be turned into wine. That when you're there, that you won't be like, oh, nope, look to your spouse's name. Hey, babe, now's the time we start counseling. Now's the time we start moving. But start walk into it, whatever that is. Lord, we thank you again. He is so good, amen, so good. Lord, I pray that this fire that's burning inside us through your Holy Spirit, Lord, I feel just drunk on your wine, and I'm praying right now that that will just flow out of us into the people around us today. I pray for this congregation in the name of Jesus to be filled to the brim of your Spirit, because that's what his wine represents, is his Spirit, always supernatural. So we're praying, Lord, for a supernatural thing to happen. We are sick of the natural, we're sick of the world's wine, and we're coming into your wine in the name of Jesus. The best wine, and you saved it for last. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. You are good. We love you. Bless our week, we pray. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen.